Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome everybody tonight. We're doing part two of our life path, purpose, and life lessons. I have with me tonight Stars Maya and Stars Jane, and they're going to be talking about it again. And we've already set up all the topics, I believe, until May 25th, so it's exciting because there are good ones coming up too. But tonight is going to be a continuation. And I think a lot of us ask, why am I here? I know I have many times, and I'm sure everybody has. And I'm going to welcome everybody in the chat room right now. We've got... Stars, Priestess Candy, and James. Now, Priestess Candy, I was really, really happy today. She's had a great day, and she just typed in, here we go. So I guess we should start the show. And Stars Maya, are you going to begin?
Well, actually, I think we were going to have James begin, but I'll start by at least saying hello and welcome, everyone. This is Maya, Stars Maya. And I'm so glad to have you with us all this evening. And if you're new, I know you're really going to enjoy this topic and all of our topics. And if you have been a continued listener, I know that you're going to enjoy the continuation of the show. We really do have some great topics and some great discussions. But I believe James was going to open, that Stars James or James was going to open. Is that okay with you, James? Weren't you going to open this show for us?
I can open the show. I'm very flexible. I can do whatever you need me to do. So I just want to welcome everybody here to the show, the people that are in the chat room and just anybody listening in. I'm really glad that you're here. I did want to kind of start. It's interesting that you had me start. I wasn't really thinking I was starting, but I really, you know, we're talking about life path. And last week I had quoted a little bit from the introduction to A Course in Miracles. And I really felt like I wanted to give that same quote again at the very beginning, because I really feel like, this isn't a plug for A Course in Miracles. I personally have not been through the whole Course in Miracles. And I really feel, though, that this one quote really embodies so many spiritual traditions and paths and life paths that that I really felt like it's very appropriate for this type of show. So I wanted to give that quote again. And this is an introduction to A Course in Miracles, but this can really be applied to Christianity, to Buddhism, to Taoism, to so many different types of paths. So I wanted to give this quote. It's the introduction. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And the reason why I wanted to really give that particular quote as an introduction is because I personally feel, and Maya might have a different perspective on this, but I really feel that the reason why we're here and why we're moving forward in this time-space reality is to reconnect to love. I believe that love is our source. There's scripture in the Bible that talks about God being love. And I really believe that in this time-space reality, what we're doing here is we're reconnecting and we're learning how to love. And so if I were to sum up any life path, I would say that, all of our life path and the life path of the planet, because I kind of wanted to go into that today, that there's distinct changes on the planet right now in terms of consciousness that that are definitely having an impact on globally, collective consciousness. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I really feel like the main thing that we are doing on this planet is we are reengaging with our source, who, we can refer to as God or simply Source. That's kind of the introduction that I wanted to give. And, Maya, I think I'll pass it on to you because that was really what I had in mind for my very first statement. So.
Okay, and everyone, excuse me, I'm having allergies this evening, so I've got a little bit of a cough, so hopefully I can keep that under control, but if I do cough, I apologize. James, I really love that. I was going to ask, would you mind reading that one more time for us?
Absolutely. Let me get my book out here. Okay. I really want to stress that if A Course in Miracles is your path, definitely go with that. But I really feel as though this really is about any spiritual path. It can be applied to any spiritual path. So, but this is the introduction to A Course in Miracles. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. The course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This course can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Herein lies a piece of, what was
God.
That last word?
God, the divine, the creator, God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I really love that. I have not heard it put that way. I mean, I'm familiar with some of the terms or the ideologies, but I love that. I'm not sure who the author of that is, but it definitely resonated with me. And I would agree that I like the part where it said that the opposite of love is fear. And what I would say, and I'm not sure, so you can chime in after I've finished. And I quickly, too, want to welcome and say thank you so much. A lot of listeners don't realize how important the people in the chat room, like Candy, and I'm not very good with names, and I don't always know exactly. I know Candy is always there pretty much running things, but I know that we have a lot of volunteers, and that is where you can get mini readings or a question answered. But I know that they work very, very hard to schedule their time and to be there. And it's kind of our sister, if you will, or our family. And so I really think that they need to be acknowledged. Just because you don't hear them speaking on air, please know that they're such an important asset to us and that we really do work together as a family. So that being said, I just wanted to put that in and acknowledge all of the great folks and experts that devote their time and do so out, which brought me to my point, out of love. And I do agree with you on that love is the universal. You know, we had talked a little bit about that last week. And as always, one of the things that I enjoy. And just for the listeners, although we do often, when James and I work together and co-host a show together, although we may discuss topics, you know, we may rally different topics or make suggestions how to word it. We don't really do any, you know, there's nothing pre-recorded. We don't share any of our ideas until we come live on air, and that's when we start. And so oftentimes, I know for me, after I've heard what James has to share, I often am opened up to a new way, which is one of the things that I've always, I think, been attracted to with spirituality, because it's not black and white. There's not right or wrong. There's so many different ways, and there's so much to learn. I feel that I learn every day. I feel that I learn through my own life experiences. I feel that I learn on the show, speaking with James and listening to his ideas and what he brings and shares. And I learn from my clients. I can't tell you how many times a client has shared part of their personal journey that has given me, it's really been a gift. So that being said, we're talking about love and fear. And love, what I'm taking that to be, is more of a universal love, not that it excludes personal love, but I'm taking it to be more of a state of being, which is that of love as opposed to fear, rather than a personal attachment or, for example, like lusting after a particular person. Now, is that how you're meaning this when you're speaking of this?
Yes, and what I have been through in A Course in Miracles, that is definitely what they're talking about, is a universal acceptance. Really, A Course in Miracles is about connecting to our own divine nature and to God, or recognizing our own divine nature and connecting to God. I guess that's a better way of saying it, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It uses very Christian terminology, but not always in the same way that fundamentalist church would use it. And it's interesting because you said you weren't sure who wrote it, and that's what fascinated me with A Course in Miracles to begin with. It was two authors, it's Helen Schumann and William Thetford, and they were both both psychologists, and they recognized in their practice that their patients weren't getting better. So they were like, there must be a better way to do this. And they Helen Schumann was the one who had a dream where Jesus came to her, and the whole book is dictated as a channeling from Jesus and from some of the apostles and through the Holy Spirit. That's the whole premise of the book, is that it was channeled. It's a channeled message, and it uses direct language from Jesus, which is why the language is very Christian in nature.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've shared, not that it's important. I don't feel that it's important for my client's belief system to match with mine, but I feel that it's important that my client might know from what realm I'm coming from. And for me, the divine is the connection that we have to all living things, but it also is the Christian God. So probably another reason why it especially resonates with me, and that I feel that, that form of total acceptance and non-judgmental, you know, it's almost, to me, like levels, which I feel is what our paths are all about, too, is ascending. And in the human world, if to me in the spiritual world, our ascension is quite a bit different, because we're not tied down, we're not fretted by any of all these external, if you will, circumstances. And that's good, but that also doesn't give us a lot of challenges either. So mm-hmm. in the human world is where we can be challenged and we can learn to attain what I feel is our personal life path and journey. And so one thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about, if that's okay, and if you have something else you want to share, by all means, just say, no, be quiet, I'm not doing it.
I would never do that, but go ahead.
No, I know. I'm just, for those of you that haven't listened to me much, you'll find that I do have a little bit of an odd sense of humor, but laughter to me is part of our spirit, and when we can laugh, you know, whenever we're laughing, we're always the angels sing, or we always are bringing a smile. So, yeah, I have a little weird sense of humor there. But so when you see, like how do you view that in terms of, because I know you had mentioned at one point when we spoke last week that the journey is now and now is the journey. So do you make any, I mean, do you feel, in other words, that each of us pretty much have the same, even though the circumstances might be different, one might be male, one might be female, one might be in computers, one might be an attorney, one might be a cafeteria worker. But, I mean, do you see us all on the same level, or do you see that there's a division of that, or how would you see our life path in terms of how it affects us in our present life, if that made sense?
No, that does make sense. Let me think about it. Let me ponder that for just a second. Okay, so from my personal perspective, from what I have channeled and what I have understood and studied, I really feel that we are all on the same path, but our missions in life are not the same. So, you know, the an attorney and myself and you, we would all have a different life experience, but we're all still interconnected. There's one thing, I mean, I truly believe that, you know, in the prayer where Jesus, right before Jesus died, he prayed that we would be one just as he and the Father are one, that we would be in him. I believe that in that prayer, what he was really saying is he was speaking a very profound truth, that there really is just one of us here, or one consciousness here. Now, we are divided in that our consciousness is divided. So there is definitely a distinct you and a distinct me and a distinct other, you know, lawyer or attorney or whatever. But, you know, when you get down to the root of what we call Christ consciousness, or the infinity that is our source, that's all unity. That there's only one thing there. And that actually, I have on my notes here, just a second. I was going to talk a little bit about meditation later on, but I actually think that that's a really good introduction to meditation, because this is how meditation essentially works for me, or centering works for me in my understanding. God is something that cannot be divided. It's, you know, God or the divine is indivisible, and, you know, is infinite, and there's only one other thing that is undividable in you know, our understanding of at least mathematics, and that's the number zero. And so really what meditation is bringing us, it's letting go of all of those busy thoughts and busy ideas, bringing us to a point where we're at zero, or we're at that place that cannot be divided. And that's really where we recognize the infinite nature of our being. It is true that in this physical body, we are all going to die. But the reality is that we are all infinite beings. And that's why, to me, it's, you know, things like meditation, centering, are very important for us to really access that which cannot be divided, to understand that, you know, there is something beyond this physical existence that we are connected to, all of us are connected to. And going back to Christ consciousness, there's we talked one time in the show about archetypes.
Yes.
Were you on that show? Yeah, we talked about archetypes a while back, and archetypes are universal symbols that we all recognize. And there was, was it Carl Jung that kind of popularized this idea that these are that these archetypes are universal? Well,
yes.
If you think of that, I mean, we all have these same archetypes, archetype of mother, archetype of father, archetype of king, that we all understand and we resonate with those. If you go a level under that, there is a consciousness that we all have that is one, that is a singular consciousness. Now, you may not agree with that. This is something that, you know, through channeling and through what I've studied in ancient religions and even modern with the Course in Miracles, is that what we're tapping into is really that singular consciousness, that thing that Jesus was talking about, that we are one in him, and in him we are one with the Father. In fact, A Course in Miracles does say that there is that the only begotten Son is us, that there is only one begotten Son, but that is all of us in Christ. And so I know that this is a really long answer to your question, but yes, I do believe that we all are on the same, we all have the same outcome. We don't have the same experience going forward. Does that make sense when I say it that way?
I believe that it does, yes.
Okay.
I appreciate that. I'm glad that you were able to take a moment so that you could really answer the question. And so what I'm going to do is add how I feel about that. I feel, and we mentioned this briefly, and each of us have ideas that we want to share further on this general topic. But I believe that we are united. You could refer to that as universal, or you might even say divine, collective, that there are certain aspects or certain, I would say, a purpose or a path. So to me, I would see it as my vision of that would be that there is this main highway. And at some point, that highway is always a part of our journey. But during our journey, I see our journey is our physical lives that we live here on Earth. And I do very much believe in reincarnation, and I support the theory that in general, I mean, there's always going to be an exception. There's always going to be, I don't think anything can be said 100% or 0%. But in general, I feel that, you know, we are going to live more than one physical life. And so aside from that highway, which is the commonality that we all share, which to me goes back to this state of grace or universal understanding or love and acceptance, et cetera. I think there's a lot of different terms, but it means the same or the identical, you know, it's the identical factor, influence. It all goes back to the same. However, within that, each of us then have different trials and tribulations and separate and individual lessons that need to be learned, and those lessons can be for a variety of reasons. And just a couple examples would be, I feel that it could be a lesson that perhaps is important to us just because it's something that we, just like we might take a class, I don't want to lose anybody here, and I'm a little ADD, so I can do that sometimes, jump around. So just like we might take a class, because not to get a degree, but let's say we're going to take a photography class or we're going to take a history class just because we're interested in knowing a little bit. I would see that as part of our personal journey. Sometimes it's just about something that we have a desire to learn more about, and sometimes it can be a repetitive lesson, something that we were not quite able to grasp in a prior lifetime, and sometimes it can just be rounding everything out so that we can understand the masculine, the feminine, the, you know, all the different shades, all the different, the balance and the alignment, so that the scales are in absolute perfection. The balance is just exactly the way that it should be. And I do feel that that's a difficult achievement, and it takes, you know, again, more than one lifetime for most of us. And when we're in the spiritual realm, I think it's different. So when we're talking about our life path or our life purpose, I would say that we're looking at some that are general and that are we all share, okay, and that would be that main highway. And then we each have the individual ones that are based on a variety of things. And sometimes they can even be connected with other people as well, relationships, or some people would call that karmic debt. I've heard the word soul contracts. Sometimes I think that the words used get just a little bit too fancy for what it really means, but that's how I see it. So now that being said, and whatever, of course, James, whatever you want to share, we're all interested to hear. But if you have any comments on that, we would love to hear that. We would love to hear those.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I totally agree. I really liked the imagery that you gave with us taking a class. And the main reason why is because you actually hit on the next thing I wanted to touch on. You said that because that is our desire. And that's one thing that I think is so important when we think about our life path is, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God fulfills all of the desires of our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that our desires are much different than our worries. Our desires really are what exist under our worries. So usually when I'm talking to a person, their desire is their deepest desires. If I'm you know, working with a person about working with this particular issue, their deepest desires are rarely to have millions of dollars in the bank. They're rarely to have the fanciest car that's available or the biggest house. The intrinsic desires that we are born with, or the fundamental desires, are really why we're on this journey. We're on this journey to have those desires met. I am absolutely confident of that. I think what happens is we get so caught up in the physicality of our experience. Issues like money or, you know, our idea that we need to control situations to have our desires met really kind of, like, you know, shake up this whole idea that God fulfills the desires of our hearts. But, you know, I agree that this class that we're in is really not just to fulfill those desires, but a lot of times it's to point out those desires because we don't recognize them. And a lot of times we don't recognize them because of things like fear or anxieties that we have about what might happen in the future. And one of the things, I mean, that was, I really want to get, you know, in the latter part of the show, I'd like to get really practical with the, you know, dealing with things like fear and worry, and how that can really stop us from achieving it doesn't really stop us from achieving our life path. It does really stop us from achieving our highest path in this lifetime, which is why we have several lifetimes to do this. I am a, you know, I do believe in reincarnation as well. I actually have scripture that I believe the Bible backs this up as well. You know, when Jesus was talking about, oh, I can't remember, it's in John, but Jesus was talking about how John the Baptist was a reincarnation of Elijah. You know, I mean, there's even scriptural evidence, if you're talking from a Bible perspective, of reincarnation. And part of Elijah's desire was to see the manifestation of Christ consciousness. And so he reincarnated in a second lifetime to recognize that and to herald that in. I don't know if that, does that make sense to you? I'm getting a little. Okay, all right. So, so that's one thing I would really like to discuss that a little bit. First of all, I want to address consciousness, because consciousness is very important. We are tremendously powerful beings. We don't really recognize this, but you know, even Jesus said with faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And I wholeheartedly believe this, and I think that right now on our planet, I believe that our planet is shifting into a different level of consciousness, but our consciousness is very chaotic as a planet. We're at enmity with those around us. You know, we're creating wars. And I really actually feel deep down that that this level of consciousness that we're at is really the source of things like tornadoes and hurricanes and major storms and earthquakes, that we really are, you know, moving things. We're just not necessarily moving them in a way that's desirable, and that has to do with our chaotic consciousness. And there was, speaking of that, there's this study called, there's this actual school of science called noetics. Are you familiar with that term, noetics?
No, I'm okay. Not. Although I do have to mention quickly that my guides in the blog, my guides have always taught me that weather is directly related to our spiritual being, both universal and otherwise. So please go ahead, because that is I'm not familiar with, so.
Yeah, no. Well, in the study of noetics, it's really intriguing. There's a few different branches. Like one branch of noetics has studied, they have random number generators all throughout the planet. And they have studied, like, when major events happen on the planet, the random number generators will line up, or they'll, you know, they can study that the consciousness of the planet, when it shifts, it actually influences the random number generators. And then they've done other studies where they have taken high crime areas, like Washington, D.C. was one of the major ones, and they brought in people who have a meditation practice, and they brought them all together to meditate for a certain period of time, and they took the statistics from before they meditated, took the statistics afterward, and it was a drastic decrease in the crime rate itself. So if you're interested, you know, I don't want to go into the noetics, the science of noetics too much, but if you're interested, I would highly recommend you looking this up. It's N-O-E-T-I-C-S, I believe. I actually didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure that that's how you spell it, and it's the science of how consciousness, especially mass consciousness, influences the planet. And I think that this is important right now, even with what your guides have been sharing about the weather. I feel like this is so important right now, because I really strongly feel that there's a planetary shift in consciousness going on right now. And, you know, I just feel like that's a part of what is coming, you know, in the near future. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to happen even in the next 10 years. I haven't been given any kind of time frame, but I really do feel like we are sensing that right now. And I've talked to a lot of psychics who feel the same way. I don't know if you have anything to share about that, but then I really want to get practical about, you know, letting things go, releasing, and really engaging, finding a way to engage in our highest path. But do you have anything to share about what I just shared?
Just quickly that I wrote down the noetics, and I will get some further information, but yes, my guides. I want to say that what you said resonated, because one thing I would say, it's been a while, but most especially I'm going to say in the last 2 years, and it really peaked last year, and now it feels like we might have a slight calm, but it has not by any means disappeared, and I've often talked about how the way that I receive my information, and we're all different, so there is no right or wrong way. But I'm often shown, it's almost like a panoramic, you can imagine a big movie theater, and I was shown how the alignment of and the shifting of where we need to be spiritually is often reflected in the weather, and it kind of works in several different ways. One is because the weather, especially, and of course I offer my prayers anytime I mention any of these disasters, please know that we continue to pray for all those involved. But for example, the hurricanes here in the U.S., I live in the U.S., so obviously I am a little more connected with what occurs in the U.S., but, you know, we had Hurricane Katrina and Isaac, and we had in New York, I'm not even sure what to really call that, but it was something that my guides had actually predicted, not specifically that area. They just had predicted that a very unexpected, unprepared metropolitan area, very populated, was going to be hit. And they feel that, and if my blogs often will refer to the differences, they feel that there's a very big difference in terms of our spiritual movement, where we are trying to be moved by divine, which I would recognize that highest power of divine to be God, but you meaning the general you, not you personally, James, but others may see that as something very different. Irregardless, it feels to me that there are separate ways, depending on what movement or shift or change spiritually is needed. So yes, weather seems to be not just the the external vision of what's going on spiritually, but it also is, I mean, like we can look at, you know, the flood, 40 days and 40 nights. There's several glimpses in the Bible about different weather situations or, you know, peculiar happenings. But it's also an opportunity, you might say, for people to react. And, in fact, Joplin, which I live, I don't know, James, or I don't know if you're from the U.S., but Joplin is a rather small, it is a very populated area, but it's a small rural-type community, and it's not even 2 hours from me, and I believe we're going on 2 years that it was devastated by a tornado. So, I kind of went off track there, so I need to rein myself back in. See, there's that ADD coming back. But yes, the weather definitely is not only to me symbolic of spiritual movements and what we need, where we need to be and where we're going to be going, but it also is empowering us with an opportunity for actually action and intentions to be put into use, if that makes sense. Did that make any
totally.
Sense at all?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So
well,
from there, take it away.
No, and I agree. First of all, my fiance's family's in Springfield, so we'll have to, next time we're there, we'll have to plan a little visit or something. But anyway, I totally agree with that. I feel as though when we, you know, I know this is difficult for a lot of people to understand, but I really believe that we create our experiences. We are co-creating. We're creating as a group, but we actually create those things that bring resistance. And I really liked what you were talking about, because to me, the chaos that we experience on this planet, I feel as though that is to really bring us back into alignment. If you think about what happened to consciousness when Katrina hit, or what happened to consciousness when 9/11 occurred. you know, it even though the result of 9/11, we're not going to go into too much of that, but it certainly impacted the way that we related to one another as human beings. And so when we create as a mass consciousness or as an individual, when we create specific events that are traumatic, and my heart goes out to all of, you know, all of the people that suffered through those events, but when as a group we do create those circumstances, we're doing so to bring us back into alignment, to make us recognize and refocus our energy. It really opens up our our spirituality, if you will. I mean, I use that term spirituality. To me, what that means is our understanding of life, our understanding of, you know, why we're here, what we're doing. So I'm really, I don't use it in an esoteric way. I use it as more of a, you know, spirituality to me is an awakening to what's really going on. And we're gradually evolving into that awakening. I don't feel as though any of us has really achieved that quite yet. But that works on a mass scale, like you were talking about how our consciousness influences things like weather, but on a micro scale as well, when we create circumstances that are less than desirable, we'll call them that, it is often the time when most people seek spirituality. They will begin to pray. They will begin to, you know, really try to figure out things. A lot of times people need a crisis point so that they can open up to something greater. Would you agree with that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I would, yes. I would agree, yes.
Okay. So one of the things, though, I really wanted to, we have about 20 minutes, and we can totally do this in 20 minutes. I really wanted to get a little practical with some of these things.
Yes, I know you did, so please.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, we're talking about a lot of really spiritual, you know, things, but I really want to get right down into your life and how this, you know, what can you do to really engage with your highest path? And I really have some practical advice, and, you know, one of the first things I would say, first thing I would say is that I really believe that fear is the one thing that is in opposition to our highest good in our life path. It is the opposite of love, which to me, love is unconditional acceptance. Fear is, it's a rejection of what is. And it is a rejection of what might be. And so that's how I would classify the two things. So love, let me say that one more time. Love is an unconditional acceptance of what is to come, and what has already happened, whereas fear is a rejection of what has happened, what is happening now, and what may come. And that's, you know, it can be summed up with, in the past, I think it was a Taoist statement where if you have issues, unresolved issues from the past, it manifests itself as depression. If you have unresolved issues related to acceptance of the future, it manifests itself as anxiety. And ultimately, though, it's really just a rejection of what has happened. So I want to focus on one thing. It's about reconciling the past. And the way that we do that is through forgiveness. When we let go of the things that people have said to us, or the ways that people have interacted with us in a not loving way. I mean, because essentially the only reason why we ever need to forgive anything is because someone has, through their own manifestation of fear, through their own manifestation through fear, they have interacted with us in a way that is not loving. What we do is we then hold on to that energy. If we have not forgiven, we hold on to that energy, and then we end up acting in a way that is not loving. Forgiveness does not justify what anyone has ever done to us. It is merely the acceptance of what actually happened. What, you know, it's a letting go of that emotional attachment to an unloving event. It's recognizing that person manifested that event towards you through their own fear. Okay? And what would you say? I'm going to pass it on because forgiveness is a huge topic. So I'm going to go ahead and pass that along to you to see what you have to say about it.
Well, yes. I mean, I would pretty much agree with what you're saying. That I believe that that is definitely true, and I think you should keep going. I mean, I agree, and I see pretty much things. Pretty much the same, and I would explain it probably very similar, actually.
Okay.
And that you know that it is important in our life path, I feel, to find acceptance and release, and which leads us to balance. So that would be the only thing that I would add, and I don't know that I'm really adding to what you're saying, because in essence, I feel that's pretty much where you're going with this, or part of what you're trying to explain, and that the only other thing too that I would add is that we need to own our choices and own our creation, because ultimately we as humans can be weak. And we can often pass things, and more so, I feel, even though we're getting more and more spiritually evolved, by the same token, we also have this other side of us that has become externally weak and disconnected, and that part of us tends to want to, I call it blame and shame. That's just my little coin phrase. But we really need to own that these are choices, folks. Each of us has the power and the ability to make these choices. And at any time whatsoever, we have the ability to change. And would you support that idea, James?
Absolutely. Actually, one of my favorite teachers named Louise Hay, she says it this way. Everything that we experience is only a thought, and a thought can be changed.
Yeah.
And to me, that sums up, you know, all of our reality. Is it really is just, I mean, if we change our perspective about where we are at and where we are going, our whole life changes. And you know, I really think one of the things I really, really wanted to talk about is learning, you know, we're talking about learning to love other people. Yes, that's so important. We want to love other people, but you will never be able to love someone more than you love yourself. I don't care if you're talking, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a spouse or if it's, you know, a child. You will interact with them in the same way that you're interacting with yourself, which is one of the reasons why forgiveness is so important. But I would say forgiveness of yourself for the mistakes that you've made, too, is so important. And learning to recognize that you're on a journey, you can be gentle with yourself on this journey. You're going to make mistakes. You're probably going to fail and get it wrong a few times. I think it was Natalie. She had asked me, no, she had said, I don't think I could do what you do. And she was talking about, you know, the psychic thing. I said, I don't concern myself with whether I'm going to get it right or wrong. I just let it flow. And if in fact, and, you know, thankfully, spirit shows up and, you know, for the most part, everybody gets right information. But if I didn't get it right, I don't dwell on that. I don't ball and squall. I never claim to be 100% accurate. I claim to be human, doing the best that I can with the gifts that God has given me. But I really think that is the strongest perspective that we can take as human beings, is that it's okay whatever happens. The most important thing is that you take a step forward. So many people are so afraid to take that step forward that they never get anywhere. They stand in the same spot going, I really wish I was over there. But if I try to walk over there, I might trip and fall. You probably will trip and fall, especially if you just learn how to walk. We don't shame a baby when they get up and they start walking. They, you know, if they fall down, we don't shame them. We recognize that eventually they're going to walk really, you know, well. And so I think that that's another thing that I would really strongly recommend to all of you, is just be gentle with yourself. Allow yourself to just be who you are and allow yourself to just be on this journey. And don't be so afraid of getting it right or getting it wrong. In fact, especially if you have a spiritual path, because if an angel showed up tomorrow and said, I give you the power to heal everyone that you touch, and I touched everyone and they all were getting out of wheelchairs and everything, I wouldn't take credit for that. But yeah, I in the past, I was so apt to take credit for when I didn't get things right. And why, it's the same thing. Essentially, if you're taking a step forward, if you're learning how to walk, what's the point of shaming ourselves if we get it right or wrong? Essentially, we're going to learn how to walk as long as we keep trying. And I can guarantee you have that same spirit to get it right and to be strong and to move forward as anybody else, especially if you can walk right now. Because you did it when you were a baby, you can do it right now. So I guess that would be the biggest thing that I would say. I'm going to look at the – oh, and I do have a quote that I want to share, and this is about worry. Because I think that worry a lot of times stunts people's growth and movement forward. And this is by Wayne Dyer, and this is one of my favorite quotes, and it goes like this. It makes no sense to worry about things you have no control over because you have no control over them. So it makes no sense to worry about them. And also, it makes no sense to worry about the things you have control over because you have control over them. So it makes no sense to worry about them. And there goes everything that is possible to worry about. Either you have control or you don't. And worry is just a waste of your precious present moments. That's a quote by Wayne Dyer. And it's one of those statements that had a profound impact on my journey. So I just wanted to give that. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you. What are your thoughts on, learning to be gentle and being on this path that we're on.
Right. Well, and I love that quote because I believe very, very much, again, I would consider myself a very spiritually proactive and a firm believer and teacher in being, and affirming. And we have to start from within. And I loved what you said, and I so support that idea that it's exactly true. We wouldn't make fun or humiliate a child learning to walk or someone learning to ride a bike. So we have to take, worry out of the equation. And, worry and faith simply don't, it's like oil and water. They cannot coexist together. And when we are going through life, if you're trying to dodge, if you look at life as a maze and you think that you're going to dodge every bullet, so to speak, or every mistake or every trip, the thing is it's just such a huge waste because you're not. You are going to fall. So if you go into this knowing, I'm going to fall down, I'm going to skin my knees, so to speak, I'm going to bruise my ego, I'm going to get my feelings hurt, but I'm going to continue to go forward because that is always the right way. And I can't stress that enough. Walking forward and is always the only way. Going backwards, stopping, it never accomplishes anything. And it will never help us to reach our highest good. And as far as treating ourselves gently, absolutely. I feel that we should, and a lot of people get hung up on this idea that that's being selfish, but it's not. If we can't be self-soothing and we cannot cherish ourselves, our soul, our being, our ideas, who we are, and so on, if we cannot treat that, many of us that are Christians are familiar with the idea of, and even those that are not Christian are perhaps familiar with the idea of washing another person's feet. Culturally, that is considered one of the most honorable things to do in many cultures. It's a show of love and respect of the highest kind. And so that's what I always think about and what I would pass on to my clients and to our listeners is to take the time to wash your feet. Treat yourself the way that, however you would imagine that you would want someone to treat you or how you would treat someone of the most important spiritually, emotionally, love, whatever connection, whatever you want to use, you absolutely must treat yourself that way, and you must almost be a parent to the child within and spiritually a parent and a very, you know, jovial, accepting, non-judgmental one, one that embraces that spiritual forwardness, and one that accepts and says, we're going to make mistakes. So if we know we're going to make mistakes, and we know that there is no perfect, there is no, you know, folks, here's the bottom line. There's no shortcut in this life. There isn't. There's one way, and so we may as well love ourselves fully and to the highest. And by that, I don't mean harm others in order to give ourselves that which we don't deserve. I'm talking about spiritual love, emotional love. But we might as well do that because we can't expect, and that comes up with clients quite a bit where they're saying, well, such and such won't take a risk. You know, they don't want to make a move. They don't want to go forward. But yet, you know, you talk a little bit longer to this person, and what is the first thing you find? This person is unable to take any risks. So why would they expect someone else to do something that they themselves are unable to do? So, yes, I totally agree with that, and I agree that we should treat ourselves as kindly and be as good to ourselves as imagine whatever scenario works for you. Imagine that scenario with yourself as the receiver and the giver. Treat yourself that way because what you're going to find is that you will naturally treat others deserving that way, and you will also be treated that way by others. So I know that we're running short on time. So what else did you want to add before? Because I know that you had several things that you wanted to make sure that you were able to get into tonight's topic with Jay.
Well, I actually feel very content. The final thought that I would have is actually a quote from Jesus, and he says, "Love God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." And to me, loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind is recognizing those things that are out of your control and accepting them as what they are, knowing that God is supporting you or that the divine or whatever label you want to put on that, God's not freaking out about not saying it right, but recognize that you are supported and that the circumstances that are showing up in your life are really there to work as a catalyst in your favor. And that's how we love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, is we recognize that, you know, there is, if we surrender to something greater than ourselves, that which we are surrendering to will aid us in the way that we need to go. And then the second part, love your neighbor as yourself, is exactly what we were just talking about. You will love your neighbor as yourself. You will love your neighbor to the same degree that you love yourself and that you're willing to accept yourself as you are with all of your mistakes, with all of your, you know, with all of what you think are shortcomings. That's as much as you will love other people. That's the love that you will show to your children. That's the love that you will show to your neighbor, your spouse, whomever is in your life. And one of the things I really want to, I've always found was very profound is right after he says that in this one statement, or in these two laws that I've just given you, this one statement, it actually fulfills all of the law and the prophets. And so, I mean, that's a little esoteric, but what that means is you can't gain spiritual understanding until you are able to come to a place where you are accepting of that which is around you, that which has manifested itself around you, and accepting and loving yourself and others. You have no ability to understand. And I really feel as though that's one of the things that is missing in much of my own tradition, which is Christianity, is that there is a lack of acceptance of what is and a lack of acceptance of, you know, others. And so I guess with that, that's how I will close. My very final thought is, you know, love yourself, be gentle with yourself, and I love you. Thank you for listening. Natalie, I'll give it to you.
Okay, here I am. And, of course, we want to, you know, thank everybody in the room. Stars Ruby Ann made it in. I sent her an email. I said, just follow my email. There's instructions. And, of course, Stars Priestess Candy. We had Stars Tia in the room tonight, and we had other guests. And what a great topic. I always say every week, you guys are really talking to me. I take it personally, but it's so enlightening. The two of you are so much knowledge. And, you know, I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, you know, a lot of times we know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act and react, but it's really tough sometimes. I mean, it's really, it's like you have this other little person saying, now, Natalie, you know that's wrong. You know you really should do it this way. I'm just using that as an example, but don't you think that's true?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
It's not a simple, I mean, but that's what's so great about these topics is we get to be enlightened and informed, and I love it. And next week we're coming back again from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I am Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and we are all from StarsPsychicsWithAZ.com, and it's a great thing and a great group, a spiritual family, a community of people who love each other and are so good to each other on Facebook, and that's just a wonderful thing. And Stars Maya, Stars James, thank you again. I will see all of you next week. Have a great evening. And we're going into, we're not recording right now, so this is not even being, you know, aired, so that's okay. But I love you guys so much, and I will talk to all of you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, love you too.
All right, love you.
Bye. Okay, all right. Bye to all.